Let's go to Mark chapter 14, verse 20. And he answered and said unto them, It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. Then we can go on from there. The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written, but woe to the man to whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good it were for him if he had never been born. It's better not to have ever been born than to put your mouth, attitude, hands, words, whatever, on anything having to do with the Holy Ghost or the anointing. And he, as he did eat, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said, and this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. This is my blood of the New Testament. Well, what does New Testament mean? Of the Bible? Of the New Covenant? Of a contract? This is my blood of a covenant, a solemn pledge. God wants to do something with you. He wants to work with you. He wants to flow with you. He wants to be with you. A deal. A union that is meant to accomplish something. A deal or a covenant signed with blood. What did Jesus come to do? Save those who are lost, heal the sick, to set those that are held captive by demonic forces free. How much does Jesus want you free? He bled for it. How much does Jesus want you healed? He suffered torment for it. How much does he want you united with the Father? He was separated with the Father for you being brought back together with God. God is serious about his covenant. God knows how to have relationship. A covenant is a strong relationship. And right before he even took this covenant, he dealt with Judas. Judas cut a covenant too, but couldn't keep a covenant. And then they took communion together. Wow. Do you think Jesus can keep a better covenant than David could? Do you think that Jesus could keep it? Everybody read it, and we all read about the covenant of David and Jonathan, how tight they were and how close their relationship was, how their fellowship was. You know that David even went down the line of Jonathan and found relatives way down the line to honor and to take care of because he was so serious about his friendship and his relationship with Jonathan. How strong is Jesus' covenant? Communion. We're going to take communion tonight. And communion is just a reminder of the covenant that we have with Jesus Christ and one another. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will no more drink of the fruit of the vine until that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. He'll shed no more blood, cut no more covenants. There'll be no more covenants until he has it, until he drinks it again with them in the new kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. Your relationship with God and your covenant with God will cause you to suffer some offense. It's not always going to go easy. I want to let y'all know that. The road, I mean, there's not always going to be some road. There's not going to be always rose petal. There's some valleys you got to go through. There's some mountains you're going to have to speak to. There's some devils you're going to have to cast out. There's some sisters and some brothers you're going to have to set straight. The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I mean, there's a war going on. Somebody, if you're going to win, you need the whole armor of God. Why do you think God gave you all this spiritual armor? You could sit around and wait for Jesus. You're not sitting around with waiting for Jesus in some lily of the valley someplace. There's a spiritual war going on. Amen. And when you truly decide to cut the right covenant with Jesus Christ, you will have cause to pick up some form of offense. Right after he cut the covenant, he told him, he said, now we're tight. But I'm going to let you know, just because we're tight now, he told all those boys that he was hanging, all 12 of them. He said, yeah, we got it all together. Now I'm going to let you know, because you like me, not everybody else likes me. Because they don't like me, they're not going to like you either. You're going to be offended this night. He said, don't even wait for the sun to rise. Tonight you're going to get it. Not years down the road, not weeks down the road, tonight. Right away, the devil's going to come and try to steal something good that God's got from you. How many disciples got away without having to be offended? He told them all, didn't he? He didn't say, now this one, now Judas, you're going to be offended, but everybody else is going to make it through scot-free. All of them were warned that offense would come. And I'm here to warn you that offense will definitely come to you, that would cause you to be tested, to cause you to be tried. You can give up if you want to. You can drop your covenant. You can be dumb and drop it if you want to. Or you can hold on. You can endure persecution. Now, tonight, it's Good Friday, and we're talking about the passion of Jesus Christ. I tell you what, Jesus was awfully offended by many because of his relationship with you. That's why he hung on Calvary's tree, because it offended the devil. Because he cared about you when the devil didn't. You ever had a relationship that cost you something? The Holy Ghost is in the house. This is what he's talking about on Good Friday. Everybody wants to sing little Easter songs. Everybody wants to cry and carry a cross through the streets. But they don't want to carry a burden. Somebody offense. We want to make it so easy on everybody today. But you will be offended. All of ye shall be offended. Look at two people and say, guess what? You're going to be offended because of Jesus. Get over it. Because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet not me. I'm here. Somebody said, here come Peter. There, Peter, everywhere you go. They look strong. They toting the biggest Bible. I'm going to make it all the way. All the way. You remember that, though, people? I'm the strong one. Only the strong survive, and I'm one of them. I will not be offended. I'm not going to let the Lord down. I got it all together. Somebody say, I'll never let you down. There's a song the Hawkins used to sing. We need to learn the Holy One, I'll never let you down no more. The offense. Maybe some of you were offended today. Holy Ghost knocking at the door of your heart. But it interrupted coffee time. I mean, we always talk about, they ain't going to put no mark on my head. They're not going to chop on my head. I will never deny Jesus Christ. You know, waiting for all the soldiers and all the army. But Jesus knocks, there are no soldiers out there, and you still deny them. I mean, you can't get up in the morning to pray, and you're talking about you're going to stand in the great tribulation. They take away your beans, you're ready to give it up. If you can't submit under this easy stuff, I mean, somebody got to prompt you and prod you to go to an extra service once a week. I'm sick of church, in church all the time. Don't you ever get enough of it? But Peter said, although all shall be offended, not me. Someone say, I will not. I ain't going nowhere. And Jesus said, and then verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me three times. But he spoke, and more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also they all said, I'm going with you all the way. See, that's people that say that out of the flesh. There are a lot of people that say, we are mostly into this thing, you know. I'm going to go with you all the way. No, you're not. The Holy Ghost will go with Jesus all the way. The reason why they weren't able to go with Jesus all the way, because, you know, they didn't have nothing. They had to have the Spirit of Christ on the inside of them, the thing that won't give up, our source and our strength. I don't care how much you cry when you think about how much he suffered, how much he went through, all that stuff. The Holy Ghost only will keep you. not how much you think you love him. There's a song we wanted to write a long time ago. I don't love you like I want to, yet you give yourself over and over and over again. We got to realize that it's the Holy Spirit within us that keeps holding on to Jesus, and we got to be always dependent upon the Holy Spirit to keep us there. So that's why we pray in the Spirit when we're praying in the Holy Ghost on a daily basis, building up ourselves in the most holy faith, because we'll give out. The flesh is weak. I mean, sometimes the flesh is in the mood, wants to praise him. But the Spirit of the Holy Ghost within you is always strong. And that is the only thing within you that will never, never, ever give up. That's why you need the Holy Ghost, that you might be able to live a holy and effective life in the last day. It just can't be done without him. It's impossible. That's why all of them gave up. And all of them were afraid, and all of them were running everywhere. No wonder nobody preaching when Jesus got took in. You know, no wonder nobody running. I mean, they were all around. You think, you know, Peter had that little stick for a little while. I mean, he cut off that ear, you know, just emotionally. He probably protected himself. You know, but when Jesus came, there he is over there. You know, they all went like, you know, they all just got out of the way. That's what happens. That's what happens when people don't have the Holy Spirit. We want to get out of the way of offense. We want to get out of the, you know, the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit will put you right in the heat of the fire. The Holy Spirit will put you in some uncomfortable spot sometime. He said, I can put you in an uncomfortable spot because I'm the comforter. Why is he the comforter? Because he will cause you to walk through some uncomfortable situations. Good Friday. We can talk about his suffering, about what he went through. He said, I went through this, now I want you to go through something. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith unto his disciple, sit here while I pray. And he taketh with him Peter, James, and John, and all these guys. He said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry here, ye, and watch. First opportunity. See, these are the people that are going to go with him everywhere. Never going to be offended. Just like us today. We got lots of people crying, you know, showing all kind of movies in the last days, you know, getting all caught up in all kind of stuff. And then Jesus is saying the same thing. He's trying to take the body of Christ to a secret place of prayer. Everybody wants to get ready for the end time, but nobody wants to get ready by prayer. He takes them to a place and he calls them to pray. He says, my soul is exceeding sorrow unto death. Tarry here ye and watch. And he went forward a little further and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were not possible that hour pass from him. He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Suffering and passion. We're talking about being obedient to God. To being obedient. This is his passion. Right there. That's where it starts. He said, nevertheless, not what I want. It's what you want, God. That's the beginning of death. Dying to self-will. Even in good things. Now, we know Jesus didn't want to do a bad thing, didn't he? We know Jesus didn't want to go out and shoot nobody or do anything, right? You know, we knew his will was somewhat pleasing because Jesus is God, right? So why would he have to submit even his good will, even his will of divinity, to God the Father? Many of us have got spiritual pipe dreams and all kind of stuff. There is a way which seems right to men, but the end leads only to death. We're talking about conditioning ourselves, not being offended by the leading and by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, but being obedient to the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, what I will, suffer it, your will to be done unto me, O God. This was the beginning of his passion, that prayer. He said, if you don't want to deny Jesus, learn to pray this prayer with all of your heart. Not what I want, God, but what you want for my life. And he cometh and findeth them what? He came and found them what? And he went to who? Why? He had the big mouth. He went to the one that was so strong and so tough, had the biggest confession. And he went to Peter and said, Simon, sleepest thou? Can't you even watch 1 hour? Now, you don't want to say you're going to even die with me. But yet you can't even pray with me. I mean, we pray for about 6 minutes, and it's coffee time. Somebody say, we're no different. Somebody say, you can't even pray 1 hour. I mean, if you have to say, now I might lay me down to sleep for an hour. When's the last time you had an hour's worth of prayer? Be honest with yourself. Don't lie in church. When's the last season of hour of prayer? We get into an hour of prayer. Oh, let's just stop this mess and go on and lay hands on each other. It's getting boring. Let's prophesy. Sweet hour of prayer. I tell you what, you will be offended if you don't learn to pray. Jesus was just helping him trying to fulfill his mission. He said, now look, Peter, you want to say you don't want, you want to stand to the end. But if you're going to stand to the end, you got to pray. He said, listen, if I'm, he says, I'm submitting to the Father. And you said you want to go with me wherever I went. I'm taking you down submission road. If you're going to make it, you got to work yourself out. You're going to have to pray. MC Hammer had it right. He said, you're going to have to pray. Pray just to make it today. You're going to have to pray. Don't wait until the heat of the battle and then try to learn a prayer. That ain't going to cut it. You better learn to do preventive prayer. You will be offended. How many? There is a day coming. No, there's not a day coming. There is a day that is.
Yes, amen.
See, some people wait for the great tribulation. Some of you didn't already pass by. You're not living where God wants you to be. You're not experiencing the things that God wants you to experience. These are the last and evil days. But we're just like frogs. You know, you put some fish and frogs, and living frogs in a frying pan. You turn up the heat real slow. And they don't know they're cooking about to be somebody's meal because it happens so slow. Pray. Isn't this good? And he came and found them sleeping. Watch and pray lest ye enter into temptation. Watch and pray, or you will go in the way of temptation. I tell you what, there are opportunities to do wrong every day. And you will jump on every one of them if you're not watching and praying. I mean, you will find, I mean, the devil will throw you bait, and before he even got the line out there, your mouth is wide open to eat it up. Temptation. The only way to overcome temptation is to do preventive prayer. Not pray, I got in this mess, get me out of it. You'll get out of it, but you go right back in again. You better pray. Watch and pray ye that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit truly, it's ready. But the flesh is what? The spirit's ready to pray. But the flesh is real weak. And again, he went away and prayed and spake what? What did he pray this time? I just ran out of things to pray. Pray the same thing again. That's Jesus. He went back and prayed the same prayer again. Nevertheless, what I want, it's what you want, God. It's what you want. Pray it again. There's some season of prayer. And again, he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep. What? For their eyes were what? I tell you what. There's some time you got to put the flesh under. There's a season in front of you that God, listen, that's why he always says, arise, shine, for your light has come. Better wake up. Somebody say sleeping. Again. Then he goes off and prays again. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, sleep on now. Just go on. Sleep. You done blew it. And take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. You know what I believe? If Peter had prayed, maybe he wouldn't have fallen into temptation to do what he did. At least one of the times. I mean, he could have gotten away with two cockcrows. Some say pray. I tell you what, when there's a yearning of the Holy Ghost to pray, that means there's a temptation on the way. Notice that. There's an opportunity to follow the anointing of Christ and also a temptation to deny it. And many of the time, the things that God will send big things in front of us and doors to open up to us and things he wants us to do. And we're just afraid to jump through the door. Wow, we're not prayed up enough to do it. You can tell when somebody don't pray. Let me pray about it. Many of you met people say that, I got to pray on that. I got to pray on that. Go on to sleep, brother. Go on to sleep. You should already be prayed up. God don't catch us by surprise. You should know what's coming. And let me know somebody don't pray. Many of the things that happen in my life has happened as a result. Somebody have already prayed through before you even meet the person. Said, I know who you are. I prayed about you this morning. You are a prayer manifest. Why are you moving so quick with this? Because I already prayed it through. I prayed this through 6-7 months ago. I knew where you were. I know where I'm going. You don't have to walk in darkness. You can walk in the light. You don't walk backwards. And he went and prayed the same words. Let's go on. Sleep on now. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up and let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. Now we want to go here. Skip on down to verse 50. And they what? All? They all did what in verse 50? They were awake then, weren't they? Wasn't nobody sleeping then, were they? They were quickened and wide awake. I'm running for the Lord. You're running for your lives. I mean, these people are a trip. You know, they're so slow when God, they're slow to the place of prayer, but you let the devil step in. Everybody can clear it out. They all fled. Slow to pray, quick to want, to run. Slow to pray, quick to run. You know, there's some things you just got to stand through because in the end you're going to win. I tell you what, Jesus was the man to be hanging with. You would have been a lot safer with Jesus than running off by yourself. And there are going to come some times when you walk with Jesus, you look like, man, I got to clear this anointing stuff. Man, that's some rough. I'm going to get over here with the good, the safe, play it safe. And there's some things you got to walk through by faith and stand there. When Daniel had to face Daniel in the lion's den, he had to stand there beyond some opposition and some things going on in his life. And he was able to stay there because he was a man of prayer. He didn't run. Slow to pray, quick to run. Quick to pray, you can stand up under anything. If you're quick to pray, stuff can come that he can get on, but you ain't going nowhere. You can have that kind of faith. Say, devil, you ain't pushing me nowhere. I'm going to stand for my healing. I'm going to stand for this healing. I've already prayed it through. Slow to pray, quick to run. Any runners in here? Any runners in here tonight? You can tell who's a runner by how much they pray. Right? Did you write that down? Slow to pray, quick to run. All right. Verse 50. And followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young men laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. See, this one of them didn't pray too. I've seen some people run naked. I've seen some people let them chase them off with a bunch of stuff. You can have the house. I'm running. Run away naked. Anybody met people like that? You can have this body. I quit. I give up. They held on to his clothes, and he ran off, and they had everything that belonged to him. A lot of times you got to stand through some stuff, and you wouldn't lose your shirt. A lot of people lose their shirt because they're quick to run when they should be standing, but they can't help from running because they didn't pray. Woo-hoo! There have been many opportunities when the devil could have robbed me blind, but I held on to the blessings of God, to the promise of a God like a dog on a bone. Ain't no devil nowhere got my clothes, and I'm wearing them. There's going to be a battle. I tell you what, I'm praying, and I'm standing here for the long haul. Somebody say, he ain't going nowhere. That's how the devil steals your shirt. Run it. You don't want to be offended. My. This is good. It gets better. But you'll know not to run. And you'll know not to run. If God's giving you something, God's giving you a promise, and when you're challenged, and you're challenged, and you're upset, and you feel like giving up, and you feel like quitting, God doesn't have quitters. He's got people that can stand in faith. God said you can run if you want to, but whatever he gave you, stand. Say, I'm staying. I'm going to keep my clothes. There are a lot of people could be a whole lot more blessed, but they ran out of their blessing. If I would have just held on a little bit longer. And he fled away. And the only thing they had was his clothes. That might be a spirit of poverty too. And they laid the linen cloth and he fled. And Jesus they laid away to the high priest, and with him were astonished all the chief priests and elders and scribes. And Peter followed him where? Someone said a distance follower. Somebody say the distance people. Following at a distance. You got to be in. I mean, see, Peter was trying to look cool, you know. I'm with you, Lord. I got your back way back. Anybody met people like that? They got your back way back. I'm here. Oh, you distance runners. You better get in the mess. Get right in on it. Don't be following from a distance. Jesus said, if any man be my disciple, he must take up his cross and follow me. He didn't say follow me from a distance. Get up close. When the ministry's getting their hands dirty, get up close. And when the sick need healing, get up close. Quit all that distance stuff. Get in the middle of what's going on with God. Get in the middle of the anointing of God. Don't get back. Don't start falling back when you start lagging back. Oh, come on. We just marching. Somebody say, amen. We're going with you, brother. We're going with you. Stay close. Stay close. See, these are the other ones that don't make it toward the end. Those that follow from a distance. Just drift away. Anybody seen the Titanic movie? You know, when DiCaprio, whatever his name was just drifting away. Oh, yeah. Somebody say distance. My heart's with you. I'm praying for you. Ooh, we love you so much. Distance people. Ooh, denial. We're catching all these denying saints. Distant denial. Now listen, afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the who? And did what? Where did he sit? With the servants, and warmed himself at the fire. This is where I wanted to go before we could get to Good Friday. And this is where I felt led of the Holy Spirit to go earlier today. That word that we were talking about, that God will always give us a word. Warming yourself at the fire when Jesus is going through all of this stuff. Here Jesus is going through all of these changes and all of these things. The anointing is going through. The anointing is prevailing. And here is one that said, I'm with you. I got your back all the way. But he was right there. He was right there. Remind me of some saints warming themselves at the fire. Church need cleaning, but we're rolling on the floor speaking in tongues. We can't do anything for anybody else. We're too full of the Holy Ghost. Warming ourselves at the fire, we should be active and ready to do something else. The fire of the Holy Ghost is going to motivate you to go out and do something for somebody else. God's got me in a deep thing right now. Warming myself at the fire. So was Peter. He had a big mouth too, all the things he said he wanted to do. Warming ourselves at the fire in the heat of battle. Too busy being spiritual. Half the world going to hell in a handbasket, and we're warming ourselves at a fire. Amen. I'm with you, Jesus. I'm with you, anointed one. As long as you don't inconvenience me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. What do you call warming yourself at the fire? It's nice to have Holy Ghost meeting, but it's not a Holy Ghost meeting if you're not going out there with what you get from the Holy Ghost meeting.
Amen.
They had to leave the upper room. They went up to the upper room, then they went out everywhere preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You just can't stay there. You'll deny him. You just stay at the fire and never get out there to where somebody's cold. You'll deny him toward the end. All them Looney Tunes go off. And I've noticed that. I've been in this thing for a while. And I'm not boasting, but I've seen it. If they don't get up off the floor in a couple months, I'm telling you what, they're going to lose it. What are you saying, Brother Rod? What are you saying? Get to where the anointing of God is going. Get to where the grace of God is going. Thank God we don't got people that are going to stay at the place warming themselves. And get their butt from the fire and get it on the street to where Jesus is moving. Warmed himself at the fire, and the chief priests, and they took the counsel against Jesus, and they found none of these things. And Jesus held his peace. Then we get to verse 15. How many of you are glad that Jesus prayed that night when nobody else would pray. He called three people on the phone, and none of them wanted to pray with him. And nobody else showed up to prayer meeting, but he still prayed. Nobody else stayed up to church. He still is there. Everybody else will give up and give away. You got to know in the last days, there's going to be a lot of people coming in, but there's going to be a lot of people rolling too. You hear what I'm saying? Bible says in the last day, there'll be a great falling away. I'm so glad that Jesus prayed. And because he prayed, he was able to complete chapter 14. I'm so glad he wasn't stuck there with Peter. Whew. I tell you what, Peter, it was a rough one. But he left the fire and took a prison cell. Took the will of God and endured it. The cross, despising all shame. How did he do it? How did he do it? He prayed it, that he wouldn't enter into the temptation. You know, when the cock crowed, you know he looked at Peter in his face? Don't think the anointing won't catch you. You know that when the cock finally did crow three times, I'm telling you what, your cock is going to crow. Do you hear what I'm saying? And the anointing of God's going to look at you right in the face right after you miss that opportunity to be a witness. Amen. See, Peter was preaching one message. Somebody say, Big Mouth Peter. And they said, you're one of his disciples. Denial. Denial. Yeah. Started in prayer. Wouldn't pray. How many of you know people like that? They love the fire of the Holy Ghost, but they can't stand prayer. So it started with a prayer, and it went from the denial of prayer to warming yourself in the comfort zone with everybody else. Then down this cock, next time he sees Jesus, he's preaching a different message. They say, you go to that crazy church, Peter. You've been around Jesus. You talk like him. You telling people to get over it too. No, I don't. I ain't in all that stuff. That's not me. Not me. I'm not one of them. I'm not one of them. And Peter said, no, I'm not one of them. You know what Peter started to do? Peter started to cuss. Yes, he did. He started to speak in his tongue. He cussed them all out. He said, oh, yes, you were with him. Oh, no, I wasn't. Bleepity bleep, bleep, bleep. That's when they want to fit in with everybody. Get what I'm saying? I ain't none of them. Somebody bleepity bleep bleep bleep. When we're trying to blend in, that fire just felt too good. He felt they moving from the fire. He thought he was going to have to leave that warm fire and go down there in a prison with Jesus. He had to cuss to stay there. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Until you can overcome your discomfort, you won't be able to overcome anything. These priests were going through all kind of changes. Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? I'm in 64. And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him. Peter's at the fire warming himself. And he's all comfortable. He's cussing up a storm. There are a bunch of saints like that today. No, ain'ts like that today. You hear what I'm saying? 2,000 years ago, Jesus was in a, spit on and bruised and rejected and despised by men. And there's some saints out there tonight just cussing and carrying on, cussing up a storm, still denying them. I'll get over it tomorrow. I got some other things in my life right now. I got some needs. You need to work over the Holy Ghost. This is the covenant. These are covenant people that were acting like this. Here, Jesus is he was in some cell someplace. He didn't need to be in a cell. He was from a heavenly kingdom. And he was in a cell. That was Peter's cell he was in. And they began to spit on him. They spit on him so much, it covered his face. You used a little spit on him. His face was covered in spit. Let's look at the Bible here. Mark chapter 14, verse 65. And began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him, knock him all in his head, and to say unto him, prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. Now, who was hanging out with these servants? Peter. My, my, my. Lord, have mercy. Peter warming himself at the fire with the servants that were hitting his Lord in the face. Oh, yes. Warming himself at the fire. That's how we blend into society. We got any kind of society. Oh, but it's the right way. We all got it all together. We all just blended in together. We all just warming ourselves in our good economy. We can rape. We can plumage one another. We can despise. We can neglect the poor. We can let widows go hungry. And all these things are going on, but it's our way. We're just going to warm ourselves at the fire and just act like nothing's going on. I'm trying to get on with this, but I got to be obedient to the Holy Ghost. I mean, they strike him with the palms of their hands. There's the other palms that we had Palm Sunday last Sunday. See how quick things change? See how quick things change up? One week they had the palms say, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King of Kings. 1 minute you shouting with palms, but you let somebody get you wrong. You let somebody take your seat. Hallelujah. So they say Palm Sunday. And Peter, as when he saw, when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him. Now, there's a lot of mention about him warming himself, isn't it? And said, Thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth, but he did what? Saying, I know not, neither understand what thou sayest. Somebody say, try to play dumb. There are a bunch of people trying to play dumb. You know which way is right. We do all kind of stuff and try to play dumb like we don't know. You don't need anybody to take you to a seminar to tell you to leave somebody's husband alone. I don't know. I'm just trying to do the best I can. I know not, neither understand. It's not that complicated. People always try to play dumb. I'm enjoying tonight. This is a Holy Ghost meeting. Anybody getting offended tonight? That's how you know Jesus is in the house. I just do. Paul, one scripture, he got over this ignorant stuff. He said, I would not have you ignorant. Amen. He had enough ignorant days. Some say, I don't know. Yes, you do. And that's another thing that you can find people are denying Jesus. They try to play dumb when they're not so dumb. Out there trying to act so innocent, so sweet. Out there living like the devil. You know better. I won't deny you. Leave my stuff alone. And he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand what thou sayest. And when he went into the porch, the cock crowed. Look at somebody and say, cock-a-doodle-doo. Wouldn't you like to catch somebody in some stuff one day? I'm going to do that. I'm going to follow y'all sometime and wait till y'all go to the wrong place. I'm going to walk up behind you and go, cock-a-doodle-doo. Everybody say, cock-a-doodle-doo. Gotcha. And a maid saw him again. He must have been working the room. You hear me? I mean, he wasn't just trying to blend in. He must have wanted some warmth. You hear what I'm saying? This man's sticking out. He couldn't blend in. She saw this man twice. And the maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. I mean, there they go, one. And he denied it, what? Everybody say, cock-a-doodle-doo. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them. Isn't it a shame when people don't know who they are and the world know who you are? Everybody, I mean, you know, once you get a taste of this thing, you can try to go back out there. You don't fit in. And a maid saw him again. And to say unto him that stood by, this is one of them, and he denied it again. And a little after that, that stood by him said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereunto. Somebody say, you talk like them. You know what? When I was in the world, I'd find people too, and I knew they were one of them Christian people trying to hang. Mm-hmm. They get drunk and start praying at the bar. Somebody say, I hear your speech. Glory! You ever met religious devils? You can tell in some church board trying to hang. My Lord, man. Lord, have mercy. Some say, thy speech betrayeth thee. You got a praying mama somewhere. You grew up in church. They ain't trying to hang. They in the club trying to dance and shouting. You one of them Pentecostals, aren't you? Thy speech agreeth thee. And he began, somebody say, he was at the club trying to fit in. Yep, trying to be cool. And he began to curse. That's when he started cussing. and to swear, saying, I know not this man whom you speak of. He really didn't, but he did kind of. And the second time the conch crew. And Peter called to mind, somebody said, that's when he got his mind back. The word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me three times. Ooh, I'll talk a rooster in the morning. By the time the rooster crows in the morning, that's the first sound you're hearing today, you'd have already missed God. Why did you use a rooster? Roosters don't crow in the middle of the night. They crow in the morning before the day gets going. Cock-a-doodle-doo. That's the time when most people miss God. You're not going to catch him in the middle of the day. He gets up early. Some say, I'm trying to hear God, so I don't deny him. I got to beat the rooster. And some of y'all don't have that morning quiet time, that prayer time. Beat the rooster to hear the will of God. Are y'all enjoying this? And the second time the cock crowed, and the word of the Lord came to him, before the cock crowed twice, thou shalt deny me. And when he was there, when he thought thereon, he did what? Say, he cried. Isn't that a shame? Somebody said, then he started to cry. I tell you what. When you see the face of Jesus, I don't want no roosters crowing and have you biting the nails and crying. You ain't going to have no Oscar Schindler's List up there when you hear the Holy Ghost. They ain't going to impress Jesus. I tell you that straight up. He don't want to hear none of your intentions once you get there. Don't play the drama. He don't need the drama. There's going to be a lot of people. If I had only known, I could have sewn this gold ring. Anybody seen Oscar Schindler's List at the end of the movie? You know, he said, I could have done this. I had this watch. I could have sold this watch and saved seven others. I could have done this more. And it was so sad and so dramatic. But the sad thing was he didn't. I don't want to hear nobody crocodile tears of all they could have done for Jesus. And they missed it. Thank God Peter had a second chance by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost had to help this sad same out. All of us are sad, much as denying Christians until we get filled with the Holy Ghost and start to stand up and beyond people that don't have the power of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus had to send them boys to Jerusalem. Amen. He had to get them off the street and send them to Jerusalem and to get filled with power. They can stand up beyond offense. But boy, once they got filled with the Holy Ghost, they held on. Once they got filled with the Holy Ghost, they weren't running nowhere. I mean, Peter was so strong, once he got filled with the Holy Ghost, he took his own cross. They put him on a cross and hung him upside down, and he still stayed strong. Why? He had the Holy Ghost. He learned to pray. It was he that said, listen, when I pray, it's my spirit that prayeth within me. Hallelujah. He said, pray always without ceasing. Why did he say pray always without ceasing? Because he knew if he didn't pray, he would give up and he would deny. There is something more to prayer. When we read these New Testament things, these people had experiences. And when he told you, pray always in the Holy Ghost, praying with lifting up yourself, songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. Why? Because he knew the time when he was in the garden with Jesus. And Jesus said, could you not tarry 1 hour? He's telling you to pray. There's something a little bit more intense there. Pray in the Holy Ghost, because the time's coming. God might ask you to do something that might be a little bit inconvenient. Might be a little bit out of your league. But if you pray, you can make it. If you pray, you'll be able to do it. And look at what prayer did for him. It took him by somebody who was warming his butt at the fire and then hung on the cross upside down. That boy that lost his clothes and let the devil steal his clothes from him, you know, that was John Mark, the guy that wrote the boy that wrote the first gospel, Mark, that had his clothes, that ran out of his clothes. You know that? That was John Mark that ran out, that had his clothes stolen from him. It was Mark that ran, the young guy that they had. That was John Mark. My goodness. But you know what happened to him? God, he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Nobody stole his clothes anymore. They came after him one time toward his end, and they wanted him to deny Jesus. And he would not deny Jesus. He had a spirit on the inside of him, because it was in Mark's gospel, and he remembered Jesus said, go ye to the upper room. He said, you will be baptized in my name. You'll speak with new tongues. If you pick up any deadly thing, it won't hurt you. If any serpent bites you, it won't destroy you. Somebody said he knew about the Holy Ghost, and he got the Holy Ghost, and it was time for him to deny Adonai. He did not die. You know, they drug that boy through the city on glass streets and ripped his body apart, but he still held on. But it wasn't him that was holding on. It was the Holy Ghost on the inside of him that was holding on. And in this day and in this hour, all of us can do the same thing. We can all stay strong through difficult situations. We can hold on beyond ourselves because the Holy Spirit within us holding on. Somebody say, how do y'all do what you do? I ain't doing nothing. It's Christ within me, the hope of glory. It's the Holy Ghost. I don't want to do what I do. Paul even said that. But the Spirit within us makes us do those things that we got to do. And it makes it a joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. And Jesus said the same thing. He said, for the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. For the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. Listen, if you want to have joy unspeakable and full of glory, you need to find a cross someplace and endure. Find a situation. Find something that the devil wants you to give up on and hold on anyhow. Don't let the, Jesus could have got down anytime he wanted to. Those nails couldn't hold him there. He had faith that could move mountains. What's a little nail going to do in his hand? He spoke the word and split seas in half. What is a nail going to do to him in a wooden cross? He defeated many armies. They didn't have an army like the Philistine army. He's defeated many people like that. Many nations he's subdued with the word of his mouth. And his little Roman little empire going to hang him up one day. Boys in dresses. What held him there? His faith, his devotion, and his obedience to God. So say, I ain't stuck nowhere. I'm just obedient where God sends me. Did y'all enjoy that tonight?